Welcome to this Shamanic Astrology Mystery School members call. It is October 30th, 2018. This is our call looking ahead to the month of November 2018. I'm Kaylin Castell here with Daniel Jamario. And before we jump in, I think we have a few announcements for you. One being that on Thursday, November 1st, we're going to be doing the members fireside chat or conversations with the founders or whatever we've decided to call it, focusing on the water quadrant or the water mysteries at the cross quarter of Scorpio. It's in the water realm. That's going to be at 5 p.m. Pacific time, so 8 p.m. Eastern time. And there'll be an email that goes out with the Zoom link and the call or the call-in link for people to connect with that. And I know you have something to say about that, Daniel.
Oh, yeah, this is a new thing in the school, and we invite those of you who are members who are interested in the application of shamanic astrology to the healing professions and the counseling professions. A great deal of focus on, like, the archetypes and also on maybe the intersacred marriage process and about how practitioners can use the shamanic astrology paradigm to assist the other kinds of healing and counseling work they're involved with. Every one of these cross-quarter fireside chats with the founders and other members of the different committees of those quadrants, we get together and just riff, you know, just explore what the possibilities are in each of these four areas. We'll be having another one in February, which will have to do with air, and that will have more to do with astrology per se, working with other types of astrologers and astrology organizations and more the and divination also. But here we have the focus on counseling. You're all invited to participate in that. It's not really a teaching. It's more like a round table discussing the issues associated with the water quadrant.
And that is available free to all our members. So anybody listening to this is a member, so you're definitely going to get, you'll receive the information to get on that that call. And I just want to follow up a little bit on that, Daniel, to say that we just did the co-creating with the elements event at the University of Earth with many presenters, five actually presenters besides me, and it was so transformative. And we had a woman there who is an acupuncturist, a lot of Ireland people, so that was Kim from Ireland, and it blew her mind so much. She's like, okay, I am now going to start getting my clients birth information because I can use this and work with them and help them so much. So that's how powerful this information is. And my daughter was saying to her, I was like, you're having a mind-blowing moment every few seconds. She was watching her and, you know, commented on that later. And she was like, yeah, it was just like completely things dropping into place for her. So highly recommended you join us for that further conversation with the water element. And
maybe the only other announcement at this point would be about the 20th, December 20th, on your date. Of course, I'm still over here in the Philippines. We'll be having our yearly event around around December solstice, which will include then our look ahead at the year 2019. So stay tuned.
As the 21st on my calendar, so either I wrote it down wrong, or we need to adjust that. I need to adjust that or something.
You're correct. It's your 21st. Okay. Yeah, we just recently changed that. So it would be my 22nd. Yes, that's right. Close to the exact December solstice.
And prior to that event, we will also have the rerun of the 2020 Summit. So for those who didn't purchase it last year, you'll get a chance to watch it again for free. And that'll lead us up to the solstice event and that we're going to be, you know, looking at the 2019 events that are leading us up to the 2020 planetary alignment. So definitely worth tuning into. And then, of course, we do have the two events, late February, early March in Arizona that will be happening as well.
That I will be at personally. So that'll be my only appearance actually for me in the U.S. some next year, as far as I know.
Exactly. So I think that is all the announcements for now, unless you can think of anything else.
Okay, well, let's get started on looking at the month of November. And there's really a great deal of movement and change and a lot of planetary events in November. I'll begin our consideration of November by looking at what's happening with the visible planets. So if we start with Mercury, Mercury begins the month as an evening star, evening planet. It will be technically visible in the evening sky until November 21st. It is going to go retrograde prior to that. So there's a movement. There's a retrograde Mercury coming up here in the month of November, which takes place stationary retrograde November 6th. Is that right? Yeah. And then the stationary direct point comes in December 6th. So most of November is Mercury retrograde.
Actually, Daniel, I think it's 16th. November 16th is that Mercury goes retrograde.
Thank you. Yes, yes, yes.
We don't want to mislead.
I was a little jangled by the typhoon that came through here. Sorry about that. Yeah, 11/16. Yeah, that makes more sense because then we can see that the greatest elongation of Mercury is November 6th, and that would happen before the stationary retrograde point and then disappearing into the interior underworld on November 21st. Meanwhile, Venus is going to have her heliacal rise in just about 24 hours over here anyway, in the next couple of days. And Venus will rise as a morning star, and during the month of November will attain her greatest brilliancy. Later in the month, as bright as -4.9, and that's basically the most that can ever happen for Venus. And there's a really rapid rise from the interior underworld that starts November 1st, 2nd, depending on what your low horizon is, and then will dart up to as much as, I think, 35 degrees or so above the horizon by the end of November. We'll be talking more in our conversation here today about the heliacal rise, what it means, and also the beginning of a new Venus synodic cycle, a new overtone, new metagoddess for Venus, which is really quite an important one, as we'll elaborate on. And then Mars. Mars is now during a very major portion of its cycle, which is going across the evening sky. But between now and next July, when Mars enters into the underworld, it's dimming. And so it had been really, really bright, as much as -1, but by the time we get to the end of the month, it's really dimmed a lot, like it's dimmed probably 100% until we get to until the end of the month. But Mars will be very easy to spot as it moves through the evening sky during the phase two of the Mars cycle, which actually we'll be having a class coming up soon on between Eric and I talking about this new Mars Aquarian overtone for the mysteries of the masculine in both men and women. Jupiter, we'll be losing Jupiter in the evening sky, still in the evening sky, but is about to go into the underworld on November 13th. So it's going to be hard to spot in these first couple of weeks of November, and then about a month we'll be off the world stage in the underworld. And there's some significant things happening while Jupiter is in the underworld, as we'll see when we get toward the end of November, when actually he joins up with Mercury in the cyclopomp exterior underworld. Should be quite intriguing when that occurs. And then Saturn is also now getting closer and closer to the western horizon. So Saturn is still in the evening sky, but it's not as bright as it can be. And that Saturn then follows Jupiter into the underworld December 16th. But during the month of November, will be visible. That's what's happening with the visible planets. Much more to say about how that relates to the specific dates in November as we go through them. But let's just take a look here for a moment at all the different changes that are happening in the month of November. So we already mentioned that Mercury, which starts out at 29 Scorpio, how it's going to go into its retrograde cycle and have its greatest elongation. And then it's looking forward to the stationary direct point, December 6th, when a new overtone of Mercury will happen, this time Scorpio. So that's the next overtone of Mercury. And that whole transformational process will be taking place at the point that Mercury goes stationary retrograde. And then during that most mysterious time, when Mercury is invisible in the interior underworld, the interior conjunction with the Sun, which will happen also later in November. Then we have Venus going through a profound change. Starting out retrograde, and then also the heliacal rise that we mentioned, and then the stationary direct point of Venus on the 16th of November at 25 Libra. And then by the end of November, Venus going direct at that point is going to be reaching 29 Libra by the end of November, and then goes back into Scorpio as we go into December. The month of November has a Mars ingress. Mars going into a new sign from Aquarius, and Mars had been in Aquarius for many, many, many months, back to the time period before the current Mars cycle began. Finally, it's going to move forward enough into a different new sign. We'll move into Pisces. That date, when that occurs, is November 15th, and there's a pretty major highlight of what's taking place then regarding a conjunction with the Moon and an occultation of Mars by the Moon. Then, if we go further, there's no change for Saturn, but Jupiter has an ingress, and we'll have a whole teleclass on this coming up, and where Jupiter will be moving into Sagittarius in its yearly movement into a different sign. And I believe that is happening, and I sometimes get a little confused about what date to give because it's a different date here than it is for you, Kaylin. But, so it's November 8th, I believe, somewhere like that.
Yeah. For those of us in the Western time zones, it's November 8th.
Mm-hmm. And that also is highlighted by the fact that this, on that night, there will be a Moon-Jupiter conjunction, as if to make a really major punctuation point as to that particular ingress. Uranus, amazing enough, also changes direction. There's an ingress. Uranus will move back into Aries for a short period of time, and that is coming up. We'll be covering this again as we go through the different daily and weekly events of November. Then we also have Neptune going stationary direct on the 24th of November. Quite an amazing amount of change, and I haven't even mentioned something that only happens about every year and a half, which is the movement of the nodes into a different polarity, a different resonant polarity. So they're moving on the 6th of November. The nodes will move from Leo Aquarius into Cancer Capricorn. So that's really quite a lot of movement and shifting and energetic activations happening in the month of November. And, you know, I kind of have to take a deep breath as, I try to, maintain some kind of objective awareness over how much is happening in November. And I didn't even mention the cross quarter, which is also happening in November. So I'll pause for a moment before we start going into the breaking it down in a more daily and weekly sense here. But I'll turn it over to you for a moment if you have some comments on what I brought up here.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing. What's really interesting about the Uranus return to Aries is it actually is going to be there until March, like March 6th or something like that. It's going to be in Aries until March 6th, and then it goes back into Taurus for good for several years. So, but those people who have those last degrees of Aries, and even those who have those the first degree of Taurus right now are really feeling the impact of this Uranus piece right there. Anyway, and that, it's going to station right there at 28.5 degrees of Aries. So I think that people who have anything around that within at least 3 degrees of that are feeling it, feeling the power of that. Then the only other thing I would say is that this whole Venus thing, I have a lot to say about that. So we could either start talking about that or we could talk about something else, but that's probably the main, something really big I want to talk about.
I can start off that discussion.
Sure.
Because depending on your how low your horizon is and how clear your sky is, November 1st can be considered the date that Venus is heliacally rising, to be able to see it just before the sun comes up. And our school and the shamanic astrology paradigm believes that this is actually what marks the new Venus cycle. And there's there's other good reasons for that. The fact that when Venus goes stationary direct, it's also Libra. And this is the first time in over 100 years that Venus is in Libra. I think the significance of this, particularly relative to the previous overtone of Venus, which was Aries, I think has some pretty profound implications on the world stage over this next year and a half. It also is calling out here that the past week, is an incredibly mysterious time because of the fact that Venus has already gone past its conjunction, its interior conjunction with the sun, but it's in this zone of the sky that was just so incredibly important to the Egyptians that they referred to it as a combustion chamber, a rebirth chamber, and that what could be applied to the sunrises, but also to the rising of Sirius, the rising of any of the major stars, and now most importantly, the heliacal rise of Venus, marking a really huge change in the energies of the feminine for both men and women. So I'll just let you take it over from there. I just wanted to start it off there.
Yeah, beautiful. And I love that rebirth chamber. I don't know about combustion, but that sounds a little more violent.
It's alchemy. It's like you put something inside of a lead cauldron. I mean, I think combustion. The combustion chamber is the English translation of the Egyptian hieroglyph, the Akhet, which was in there.
I like alchemy a lot. I like the rebirth imagery a lot, the changing from one thing to another, something from one thing to another, that alchemical aspect. And when it's with the sun, Venus is with the source of light and life and alchemy and all of that. So I'm all about that. I love that. As Daniel's talking about here, this shift from the Aries cycle to the Libra cycle, and I'm pretty sure we shared this in the last members call in last month, and that is This is the only time in 251 years this will happen. So we've had the, you know, we could see how the Aries wild warrior woman has been showing up to stand in her strength and her power, to have more women running for office than ever before. And I was hearing something today about how there are more Black women as well, and even other races, like there's some Muslim women and there's some Asian, I think, and you know, other races of women that are also running, and it has been, and it's like in places they've never run before. In fact, like in Georgia, Stacey Abrams, Black woman who's running for governor there, there has never been a woman who's even been had the chance to run for governor. So she's already like broken through that piece, right? And so we could just see how the strength of Aries is, and that you know, let's fight for a cause, let's stand for a cause, let's get out there and say something, do something, and not just let this go by any longer. And then handing off to Libra, and she is all about how do we do this together? How do we collaborate? How do we do this in relationship with one another, not from this more divisive place that we've been seeing happening in the politics, especially in the U.S., but it's happening all over the world. There's like a very big division that's been going on. Like, how do we divide people? It's like divide and conquer. So ultimately, we could hope that Venus and Libra is helping to bring us together and to see
I think that the magic word for Libra, and particularly Venus in the sign of Libra, is guileline. It's actually representing the older pre-patriarchal ideal of a sharing and cooperative and egalitarian and a culture where men and women are equals and work together. It's a sign of guileline, in that marvelous word that was proposed by Rian Eisler in Chalice and the Blade, talking about how human beings were originally, you know, before all kinds of things that started happening with the Kurgan invasions. It's an interesting sign, an interesting message. You know, coming from Venus, that the polarization has gone far enough, and the sort of adversarial approach, which is getting a kind of an equal and opposite reaction, is transformed into something else during this time period.
That's what I really want to energize in my intentions, and I hope everybody will join me with that. But so a couple of other things about this is that on November 1st, when Venus rises, at 29 degrees Libra, she is just 4 degrees from the star Spica. And then when she stations direct on November 16th, she is with Spica within like, you know, a degree and a half. And in fact, it's within a degree and a half of Spica from November 12th to the 20th. And then within 6 degrees, and the 6 degree mark was what the ancient alchemists used when a planet was with a star, one of these Bahenian stars or magical stars within 6 degrees, that was the time to do your ceremonial magic, to create your intention, to make your elixirs and your talismans and, you know, whatever it is that you were going to do. That would be the time. And that is from basically now, because Venus is very close within 6 degrees of Spica now, until I think it is December 3rd. So from October 29th to December 3rd, we have Venus within that 6 degree range, and will be so incredible to see in the morning sky how close Venus is and hangs out there, because it's the station point. And this is probably one of the closest stations we'll have in the whole Venus Metagoddess overtone time period of the next 104 years. So Venus to station there, that basically means that Venus is not moving very much for quite a long time, so it has that very close relationship. So another thing that occurs to me about this piece is that Spica, you know, representing the hand or what's in the hand of the Virgin Priestess or the angel or the goddess or, you know, whatever the imagery is, depending on the culture that looking at that, sometimes also seen as where she holds the scales of justice. You know, so how do we restore and maintain that justice, keep, you know, come back to a balance, like we were kind of talking about? And it feels like there's this huge infusion of possibility. And, you know, we could say that if the star magic is happening with Venus, the Venus magic and the star magic coming together for an extended period of time, it doesn't usually happen. Wow.
Well, I'm really glad you're bringing up Spica, which, of course, is near and dear to my own journey. And kind of a sub-theme is the fact that because of the precession of the equinoxes and solstices, that it's around November 1, that if you just look at Spica, which is, in many respects, a stand-in for Venus in the stellar world, that now that is the date that and around November 1st, which is when Spica rises from the underworld, which had a huge, huge part to play in the ancient ceremonies of the matriarchy, of the death of the feminine and the going into the underworld and the rebirth, which now it's actually right at Samhain, or at least secular Samhain, you know, All Souls Day and Halloween and so on, and that's when Spica is rising. So the fact that Spica and Venus are rising together heliacally, it's just powerful magic, which is even more highlighted November 6th by a very unusual, it doesn't always happen, that there's a Moon-Venus conjunction prior to the time period, a visible one, I mean, that's prior to the time when Venus goes direct, and that's 27 Libra. So if we needed any more highlights or let's say a cosmic flashlight beam saying, look at Libra, look at Spica, look at Venus, you know, look at the Moon. They're all right there, and on this very unusual and important Moon Venus, even before the gates, even before the journey into the underworld, is this incredible, brilliant thing that has its own unusual and unique magic.
Yeah, Daniel, thank you for saying that too, because on November 6th just also so happens to be the election day, you know, when the, I guess, I've already voted.
Isn't that November 4th? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, on November 6th.
You're right. Yeah, the 6th. Sorry. Yeah. Well, amazing. God.
I already voted. I hope many people will have already voted by that time. But I just imagine such a powerful, we've got Grandmother Moon with Spica, the most powerfully present star of the Divine Feminine, with Venus, right, the only planet that really represents the Divine Feminine as it stands now. And wow. So we can hope that all those women, in fact, it's very interesting in the state of Arizona where I live, that there are two women running for Congress, Congress Senate, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, but no matter who wins, it'll be a woman. And that has never happened before in the state of Arizona that there was that we've sent a woman to the Senate from the state. So that's already going to be a woman for sure, just which one. And then all the other women that are running, we could just hope that there's a revolution. Women get out and vote for the women.
Well, as long as, but I must point out, and there was the reason, this is, goes in more into the shadow, shall I say, of Aries, which is the fact that in the more recent history, and I'll emphasize the word history, the great majority of women leaders in the world have been tools and puppets of the patriarchy. And so that's we need to call that out, that just because it's a woman doesn't necessarily mean that they're serving the grandmothers, you know? I mean, unfortunately, particularly when you use Aries techniques, you end up having to take on often the what's called the inner patriarch, you know, and so they end up behaving as tools and puppets of the old boy network, and we need to call that out also.
Yeah, you know, you're really right, because the woman who's running for the Republican Senate position here in Arizona, former military, you know, background, and she voted with Trump all the way, you know. I am not excited about her getting voted in. But I would be excited for the other woman who's running. So it's very true. That's very true. But we could hope that we would have, you know, because some of these women that are running, the young woman from New York, oh my gosh, she's 28 years old. She is amazing. And there's the others. Stacey Abrams also is amazing. And even some of the men that are running are just, they're so heart directed and present.
I think that's the contribution that the Libran archetype is going to bring in here. I think we've taken it too far. It's just all it does is exacerbates it, looking at it as a battle between men and women when it really is something else. It's really the calling out the excesses and the problems of patrilineal family descent and patriarchy itself. And there are plenty of women who serve that. So just electing a woman per se is not going to change anything. We need a collaborative situation where it's really not about men and women, it's about human beings, and that's the thing we have in common.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but anyway, that November 6th is just such, and you know, the other thing that's happening on November 6th is it's somewhere on that day, I don't know the exact hour, but it's around that 24-hour period where the nodes, as I mentioned before, move from the Leo Aquarius axis into the Cancer Capricorn one, which is a prelude to unbelievable stuff early next year when the South Node is in conjunction. The South Node is in conjunction with Saturn and Pluto. So there's a whole lot going on with this ingress into a new nodal axis, and rather than attempting to explain that whole thing right now, I want to refer those listening to the teleclass we did on the ingress into Cancer Capricorn of the nodes. Very, very important, providing like a larger context to the events over the next year and a half. And that'll be a fairly major feature of our end of the year look ahead to 2019. The ramifications of this movement of the nodes into a different polarity.
Yes, beautiful. And you did say also on November 6th that Mercury's at its greatest elongation, too. So there's several, all these factors coming together, the node ingress, the Mercury at greatest elongation in the, the evening sky, and then Venus, you know, hanging out with Spica, has been risen as a morning star, you know, all of these factors coming together, so powerful, and that happens to be the day we're having an election, and of course, Venus is still retrograde, so, you know, when the planet is retrograde, it's not diminished, it's in its strength and its power, however, it can also be that what we think is going to happen isn't what happens.
It's taking the information about Mercury retrograde. It's like we assume that things are happening a particular way, and in truth, they really don't. But it's during the retrograde that we most experience that. So when Venus is in that time period, there are all these mysterious processes happening, and it has to do with relationships. It has to do with Mercury with communication, but with Venus with the way we relate with other people, you know. So, and we have to it's been in Scorpio, you see. And I mean, during this whole transformation time, it's been in Scorpio. In the last 104 years, this particular portion of the Venus cycle has been Scorpio. So there's a profound shift happening, and we may not be able to, you know, process what is actually happening with that shift while we're in the midst of it, you know. So we have to kind of allow for things to happen and unfold in a non-logical, non-rational, non-assumed way.
Well said. I like that. So just another thing to say, because this Mercury retrograde that starts on the 16th and with Mercury at 13 degrees Sagittarius, on the 8th and 9th of November, Mercury will be with Antares. And of course, a longer period of time, you know, you could put a few days on either side of that. Mercury is with Antares, that's one of those magical Bohemian stars, heart of the scorpion, the heart energy being magnified and amplified by Mercury being there, and passes that star three times. So it's going to happen again. Let's see, it goes back by Antares. On the 10th of November, it's with Antares, and then on the 22nd of November, it's with Antares again, and then once it goes direct, it passes Antares a third time around the 22nd of December. So three passages of Mercury, the messenger, with the heart star of the scorpion. That might be something we'll talk a little bit more about, too, because we'll be doing that. The last pass of that will be happening around the time we do our solstice event. But the other piece of, I guess, the significant is like paving the way for Jupiter's 12-year passage by Antares. And Jupiter doesn't get there till next month, but, you know, it's just something to be aware of, like, wow, we've got a lot going on. And that is a star that is connected to or seen as like, an exit portal, was associated with Isis or Selket, the scorpion goddess from the Egyptian perspective, sometimes also known as the Lady of the Pyramids or Isis, and was thought to have many, many significant roles in the initiation ceremonies that were held inside the Great Pyramid, designed to facilitate transformation through shamanic death and rebirth. So just saying, something for us to be aware of, that this is going on. Also, this month, a couple of passes with Mercury.
Well, and a highlight there, I'll jump ahead here, but just on this particular theme, is that the conjunction of Jupiter with the Sun in the exterior underworld, you know, Jupiter being on the other side of the Sun, is at 4 Sag, and over the next 24, 36 hours, then we have the Sun conjunct Mercury, Mercury on the other side of the Sun, the cyclopomp phase of Mercury. And on the 27th of November, Mercury and Jupiter are together invisible on the other side of the Sun in that zone of 4 degrees, 5 degrees Sagittarius, which is, again, calling out, looking at that portion of the sky relatively close to the Antares area that we were discussing. That time period of the cyclopomp descent of Mercury behind the Sun with Jupiter on the other side is a really potent time period for all kinds of journeying, you know, to what is the truth out there, what is the truth inside, a true portal for journeying to places we've never been before in our consciousness.
I was just going to say, just want to say this quickly, that the moon is going to be with this star also. It's around Mercury is with it again on the 23rd, and then the moon catches up to this part around the 6th and 7th of November. There's a new moon on the 7th at the cross quarter point. We probably need to circle back around to that. But with Antares, the moon will catch up to Antares around that 7th.
Well, it'll be just after Jupiter goes into Sagittarius. There's the new moon at 15 Scorpio on the 7th, and then there's the moon Jupiter conjunction right at the first degree of Sagittarius on the 8th. So it would be within a day at that point.
Yes, I know. So just if we needed even another punctuation point to draw our attention here it is.
And the cool. I just found it to be particularly significant, as if to really call our attention to the Jupiter ingress into Sagittarius, is that it's happening with the moon and Jupiter, which is That'll be because, you know, Jupiter is going to be disappearing November 13th into the underworld. So just a few days before that, the crescent moon is going to be there with Jupiter. So that maybe that'll be a good way of finding Jupiter, as it were, for the last time before it enters into the underworld, by looking for the crescent moon, because that'll be the crescent moon just after the new moon. The new moon taking place at 15 Scorpio on November 7th, and so over the 8th and the 9th is the opportunity to see that crescent moon with Jupiter.
You know, Daniel, the thing that's so amazing that I'm finding anyway, or feeling into here, is that we have this really powerful cross-quarter time when the sun is at 15 Scorpio, always around the 7th of November, but you could say the 6th, 7th, and 8th of November is the cross-quarter window, the day of, the day before, and the day after. And then we have that new moon exact as the way we calculate, or most people calculate new moons, and then that crescent moon showing up probably on the day after. And so it's just this incredible, and then of course Mercury will be with Antares on the 9th, so we'll set, you know, we'll be able to see the moon moving up towards that part of the sky, on, you know, as we get to that part of the get to that time, perhaps, and of course, then the sun, when it's at the cross quarter, and this also means the moon is with the stars Zubin-El Danubi in the scales. So where Spica, you know, might be holding the scales Zubin-El Danubi and Zubin-El Shamali, there's a major activation at the cross quarter every single year. And that's also sort of surrounding that, you know, we're in that zone at the U.S. election.
Yes. Well, and for people who really want to work this, you know, visually, experientially, what a chance you have in these upcoming days, you know, before and just after the election, of having the last little crescent moon in the morning sky with Venus, right? And then the appearance of the first crescent new moon with Jupiter, you know? I mean, they're like bookending that time period, bookending cross-quarter, bookending the new moon. So you have the oldest moon with Venus, and then the newest moon with Jupiter, you know, bookending that cross-quarter point. And then meanwhile, of course, just keep in mind, if you're observing all of this, that you're still looking at Spica with Venus. You know, I mean, they're getting closer and closer to Spica.
It just feels like
Spica and Antares, you know, center stage on, you know, for the month of November.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's like this, and the sun's kind of in between at the cross quarter point, right? With Zubin-El Shamali, so we can't see it, but it's fueling that, also that, you know, and maybe possibly that return to balance, because it's activating the scales, that return to balance. How do we come back to balance, because we've been so far out of balance?
Yeah, it's because it's two different scales we're looking at here. We're looking at the celestial, or the, you know, the stellar scales, which is the constellation of the scales, and then you have the way in, due to precession, about how Spica at one point about 1,000 years ago was actually on the body of the Virgin Priestess. The actual autumnal equinox point was right there, so that's another scale. So there's two different scales that are being referenced here.
So mind-blowing. Amazing. What an exciting time. Right?
Okay, then, you know, we're moving ahead, because as you can see, there is so much this month. And we haven't, only move ahead here to the Mars ingress into Pisces, which happens on the 15th of November. And highlighting that is the moon conjunct Mars and this is happening at zero Pisces, and this is the second quote labor or challenge of Mars, as Mars is now moving across the evening sky, and this is a big shift for Mars, because it's 6-7 months in as the work in the Aquarian mysteries, you know, the Aquarian mysteries being the overtone for Mars. for the 26-month time period. But now it's moving, you know, we could say the youthful adventurer is now of Aquarius is moving into Pisces. I want to let you all know that Eric and I will be putting out a Mars class about the Aquarian overtone and about this phase of the Mars cycle. And there's a great deal of implications about the Aquarian version of the masculine now having a challenge moving through Pisces, which I think is a really useful thing because the shadow of Aquarius is out there big time. And that's, of course, the whole reign of technocracy, which I don't know if many people in the U.S. are following this, but you know, China is like leading the way with this right now, which is getting everything biometrics, everything tracked, social credit scores and the whole thing because of the Aquarian shadow of like it's the cosmic brain, you know, simulating the mind of God, that is to say silicon technology. So anyway, this hopefully Mars moving into Pisces is going to bring it back into a compassionate heart understanding. And so we have the Moon with Mars highlighting this shift in the Mars cycle.
And if people are out under a dark sky, they'll see Mars in the tail of the goatfish, right? With that star, Deneb Algeti, that marks the tail of the goatfish, and getting ready to move into the water bearer as it moves into Pisces. And powerful. And also just something for people to know is that first quarter moon will be within 3 degrees to the lower right of Mars on November 15th. And so it'll be easy to see. I mean, it should be pretty clear where it is to be able to see that. So
then we move up to the big date of November 16th, where within a 24-hour period, we have the aforementioned Venus stationary direct at 25 Libra with Spica, and then Mercury going stationary retrograde, 13 Sagittarius. You know, right on the aforementioned heart of the scorpion. So
It's not that often that we have a planet stationing direct, and this is unlike especially personal planets like Mercury and Venus, one stationing direct while the other one stationing retrograde. Mm-hmm. That will be very interesting to experience with awareness, like, oh, this is a rare time because they're both in their still point time where they're not moving much. Mm-hmm. So they're accessing other realms and dimensions as a result, but one from the place of having completed the retrograde and the other from the place of beginning the retrograde. Very interesting.
Yeah, really, and as well as continuing to put the punctuation point on those two stars. Then we move up to the full moon, which happens to be occurring on the day of the ingress of the sun into Sagittarius. So therefore, we have the full moon at 0:52 Gemini, and the sun having just moved in to Sagittarius. A lot of times you might have a month where there's the majority of the things we might talk about are the new moons and the full moons. But the thing I'm totally amazed by November is so many of these big events are not with the invisible planets, you know, not with the transcendental planets, but with what we're actually able to see, the visible planets going through some really important stuff. So therefore, this would have all been seen by the ancients, you know, and would have been the main ingredients for the way they would tune into the mystery.
Daniel, I love this because, so not only do we have Antares and Spica being visibly activated, but the Pleiades with the full moon being with the Pleiades as well. So, and then of course we talked about Zubin Al-Janubi. So we've got all these main stars that are just in this powerful illumination point with the planets activating their mysteries that are available to us more easily at these times when this is happening. So the moon being a transmitter is transmitting those mysteries of the Pleiades directly to Earth at that time, of the full moon. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can, one of the things to do, since it's, you know, there's so many things to cover here, but we have that handout that everybody on this call will get, members get, about the how to work with the new moon and the full moon, the suggested themes of meditation, the suggested themes of how to tune into the new moon and the full moon, different questions of inquiry, you know, like themes to consider when setting intentions. So if you haven't had a chance to read these things, this is just a little bit of a sample here. On the new moon, that window of time that we described back November 6th to 8th, the 15th Scorpio new moon, themes to consider when setting intentions include, do you act on your desires, your passions, or do you fear them? Do you have as much aliveness in your life as you would like? Do you ever allow yourself to go to your edge or beyond that edge? Do you allow yourself to feel all that you feel without guilt, judgment, shame, or censoring? Are you afraid of being reckless or out of control? Have you experienced being reckless and out of control? Do you keep a great deal hidden or repressed? Does your life contain much that really turns you on? Consider choosing something you truly desire that will take you to your edge. Consider giving yourself permission to get in touch with your desires or seek new ones. Consider experimenting with eliminating one or more things in your life that offer no felt sense of aliveness or turn on. That's just a sample of the additional material that we offer to the members for these calls.
And that is posted with the link to the replay of the recording that Eric will send out once the recording put up, and I'll make sure that's posted there before the recording sent out. So, yeah, you can access it there.
Then there is also, which would generally be considered to be a very important thing. It's one of the points when Neptune is kind of like just stationary, stuck, you know, kind of at the same degree, same minutes for a good number of days. Neptune, stationary, direct. 13 Pisces 42 on November 24th.
Yeah, and it's at 13 the whole entire month of November. It's a bit, it was in October, it entered the 13 degree mark around the 22nd, and it's in the 13 degree mark until about the 27th of December. So that's a long time at that degree.
Actually, the entire month that we're looking at here, it's the beginning of the month is 1352 Pisces, and on December 1st is 1342 Pisces. The stationary direct point is 1342, so you can see there for a week it's like if you know the not only the same degree but the same minute.
Right, really, just pause, like in that pause point. So, yeah.
And then we come to that aforementioned, it won't be visible, but just to know it's happening, is that Jupiter is at the center point of the exterior underworld on the other side of the sun. And then shortly after that, very shortly after that, is the Sun-Mercury conjunction, the point on the where Mercury is on the other side of the sun. And so then that joins together Mercury and Jupiter between the fourth and fifth degree of Sagittarius on the other side of the sun. So one can imagine the transmissions coming from the exterior underworld, the other side of the sun, from the celestial dimension, we could say, pouring in to Mercury. My sense of it, I'll just repeat it here for a moment, is that time period would be, I think, one of the most remarkable time periods for journeying, you know, I mean, consciousness, both farthest out and furthest in, with the greatest capacity to receive, I don't know, I mean, I like to think of it as we're, like our future self is reaching down to grab our attention, or a time where it would be most safe, really, to go into the depths of our past, you know, working out the stuff that might have happened in our own timeline, you know, whether it's in this life or before. A marvelous journeying time. I mean, I could also apply it to other kinds of journeys, but I'm looking at it from the perspective of in our consciousness and in our inner work, meditational time, expansion into other dimension time during that window.
I love it. Amazing. Anything else we need to say about this before we open it up for Q&A?
Oh my God! Every one of these things we've opened the door on could go on, which is why we had to create these teleclasses so we could go into each of these in greater depth.
We'll be November 6th when we do the Jupiter into Sagittarius class, just 2 days before it enters. So right on that very special day we've been talking about, where all the things are happening. So if you're interested, you can go to the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School site. If you haven't already signed up, we'd love to have you join us.
Actually, I think when we're doing that class, that morning, the morning of the 7th for me, that'll be just at the point when, you know, all the election results will be happening.
Right.
God.
Well, yeah, so the polls close around 7 p.m., so they will close on the East Coast, but they'll still be open on the West Coast, and when we're finished with that class will be around the time when maybe some results will be coming in from the East Coast. And pretty amazing.
Yeah, we usually whenever I follow American events or American election and so on, or even American sporting events, it's like the information comes in the late morning or up till noon, you know, over here at our time the next day. So that'll be very fascinating to see what's going on then.
Beautiful. Okay, so the Q&A has been activated. So if you have any questions about anything we've talked about, or anything personal on your chart that may be connected to what we've been talking about, you can press star 6 and get into the queue, and we'd be happy to answer whatever we can, or share, or get your insights.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Awesome. Here we go. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Nancy.
Yes, hi.
Fisher? Hi.
Oh, Nancy Fisher.
How are you?
Hello there. Hi.
Hey. Well, hey, thank you guys for an awesome discussion about what's coming up in this month. And I have three things. One is that on Election Day, November 6th, and you've talked about all the things that are going on at that time, and I'm sure it's just an oversight, you didn't mention that also that day Uranus ingresses Aries.
Oh yeah, we meant to talk about that.
I mentioned that at the top of the call, but I didn't actually reference the date of it at that point. I just said generally that, oh yeah, one of the events in November is the ingress of Uranus back into Aries, but thank you for pointing out that that's also November 6th. Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it is really quite the day. It's got so much stuff going on.
Yep.
So, and the next thing I wanted to ask was, when Venus rises, helically, and she's with Spica, she's going to be rising right before the sun. And
yes.
So she's going to be very dim. So I don't know enough about the brightness of Spica to know, is Venus, could we possibly also see Spica that day?
Oh, or yeah, yeah. Nancy, the actual current date, based on the precessional cycle of Spica rising as a morning star, is November 1. So by the time that that's when technically, if you have a really clear sky, where Spica, if you heard me discuss this before, was the stellar stand-in for Venus. Okay, so that basically the spica cycle of conjuncting the sun, going into the underworld, coming out of the underworld, which used to happen in August, it's now shifted to where it rises right at Samhain. Right at so-called Halloween, All Souls Day. You could see it. What I'm not certain is how close. I mean, it is a first magnitude star. How close Venus will actually be to Spica, that I'm not sure. Venus will not be dim. Venus will be, that's why the heliacal rise is so incredible, is that, one day it's not there, and then, oh my God, there it is. It's very bright, then within a week after that, it's at minus 4.9, as bright as it ever gets. But it'll be way, way brighter than Spica.
Possibly you could see Spica as well.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
They're saying Sky and Telescope that it'll be 1.5 degrees. Venus, as she rises on November 1st, is 1.5 degrees. At the retrograde station is 1.5 degrees. At the heliacal rises within 4 degrees of Spica, Spica would be coming up just before Venus. So, higher in the sky as you would see it, and of course the stars are a lot dimmer. I mean, I think that's a first magnitude star, but Venus comes up at minus 4.2, which is like several hundred times brighter.
Yeah.
So it'll you will not miss Venus, that is for sure.
What I wasn't certain about was what the declination difference would be, whether when you're looking for it, whether it would be to the right or the left of Venus. I did not look that up before the call.
They're very, very, very close. They're within, I think Venus is, Spica is slightly to the right of Venus, above and to the right of Venus. Yeah.
So maybe the best day, rather than getting up. So this requires for me, because I have actually a ridge, a high hill behind my house to the east, which is one of the things that really grieves me about where I live, is I can't see the eastern sky unless I get up and drive my car.
Yeah.
It's not very far away, but. To maybe where I can, I still have the ridge, but I'm as high as the ridge if I drive about a mile away. And so maybe what I'm thinking is November 4th, if I was going to get up early and go try to catch Venus with Spica, maybe November 4th would be a better day?
If you were to do it on the 1st, then it was clear. You'd get both of them. In all honesty, if you wanted to be ceremonially precise, you'd want to see the first appearance of Venus, and the first appearance of Venus would have Spica above, Spica would be up there.
Okay. Well, I may give it a try, and maybe I'll be lucky and get some good weather. I just don't know how much that.
In all honesty, like any of the days from the 1st onward, you're going to. The other thing that would be really magical to see would be the very tiny last oldest crescent moon in the morning sky, which would be with Venus on the 5th and the 6th.
Okay. That sounds good too. We'll just, I'll set my alarm and try to scientifically figure out when I should get up and be able to see it, because we also have a time change that same weekend. I think we have a time change, right? Coming up that weekend here in the mountain time anyway. Okay. My third thing is just to be clear, because And you did clarify towards the end of the call about this, because I didn't catch it at the first time you mentioned it. And that is that, let me make sure that I understand correctly. Okay, so Mercury is Kazemi, or with the sun, on the 27th of November. And then Venus is with Jupiter on the 25th. But they're on opposite sides of the sun. Mercury is between us and the sun, and Jupiter is on the other side of the sun. But they're both, right?
No.
Oh, no, no, Jupiter is, oh, no, tell me.
actually, you know, thank you, Nancy. Well, there's so much here to weave together. You're right. November 27th, it's the interior conjunction of the Sun and Mercury. So Mercury is on the inside track and Jupiter is on the other side. So I actually did not explain that correctly. I made it sound like it was Mercury and Jupiter were conjunct on the other side of the Sun, but it's Mercury. Mercury is on the inside track and Jupiter is on the outside track.
But this portal, this time between the 25th and the 27th, because of where it's located, close to Antares and with in tropical Sagittarius. Anyway, this is a potent time for journeying. Correct?
I think so. I think that is still true, but not. Not quite exactly the same as if they both were together in the, you know, because I misspoke. I apologize for that. It's really not the Mercury psychopomp. It's the Mercury magical transformation as it begins. It will begin a new overtone. You know, a new synodic cycle of Mercury begins on December 6th at 27 Scorpio. So it's actually that most mysterious time. I still would say that it's a great time for a great deal of inner work, you know. And then Jupiter's on the other side. But it's I thank you for clarifying that. I did not explain that correctly.
Well, I don't know if I understand it now. Anyway, so I can work with it though.
So that's all combined in with the way we would understand the Mercury synodic cycle, that the time when Mercury goes stationary retrograde, and then it's still visible for a few days, and the time when it's not visible in the interior track, to the time that it goes stationary direct, which is about the time period where you can begin to potentially see it. That point when it's transforming, you know, from the previous Mercury overtone into the next one, which happens December 6th.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate your clarification on a couple of these points. Nice to know that that there are some folks tuning in to the complexity of the material we present on this call.
Well, it's a complex month, I would say.
Yeah, oh my God, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, a transformative complex month.
Yeah, and the nodes changing. Now, what date is that again that the nodes change
the
time? The same day. Holy moly. Shit.
Right?
Wow.
And
have you had a chance to hear our teleclass on that?
I'm like teleclass insane right now, I'm sorry to say, and happy to say. But I have that on my list. I will definitely get that done in the next several days before it actually happens. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Thank
you. All right. Thank you, you guys.
Okay, so that reminds me too, I don't know if I said this before, but Tammy and I are starting the next Venus journey. The first class will be November 28th in this sort of, you know, journeying window, but also just prior to the first exact Venus moon gate. And so if you haven't joined us, we'd love to have you with us, and I'm in this first Libra cycle in 155 years. I mean, wow. So, and especially for those who are in a Venus return or have strong Libra on their chart, you probably don't want to miss that. So, anyway, I don't see anybody else in the queue. So unless somebody jumps in really fast, we may be wrapping this up. Okay, I think we might be done, Daniel.
Okay. Wow. This is it's an overwhelming thing to look ahead to here, and amazing, incredible. All right. I'll talk to you soon. We have to at some point talk and create some dates for some other things.
Yeah, and so I just would like to say to everybody who's listening to this, too, that if you have any particular experiences or insights, we would love to hear from you about how this is manifesting for you, and that we could share with others in our Shamanic Astrology Mystery School community. So please feel free to email either Daniel or myself or both of us, and we'll make sure that gets included in the next class. So thank you, everyone, and we hope you have a very transformative month of November at the Samhain cross quarter time, and that you join us for the in a couple of days for the cross quarter conversation with the founders that's happening on November 1st at European Pacific. Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Kaylin. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye.